Welcome back, everybody, to Bulletin Bourbon. We are on episode 9, and so happy to have you listening in tonight. This is going to be a fun episode, personally for us, because we have one of our really great friends, Eric and Rachel Flanagan, who were stationed with Dan and I over in Germany, and they live a really cool life, and we get to talk about it and drink and talk about it and drink more and more. So we're going to kick it off first by talking about what we're drinking. And Dan, you lead it off. Go ahead and take a sip. And let's hit this one sip challenge before we introduce Eric and we start really diving into to what it is that we're drinking on. So,
all right. Before I even take this sip, why don't you, while I'm sniffing and sipping, tell everybody what I'm drinking?
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. While you're sticking your nose in the glass. So Eric and Rachel brought us a bottle of Breckenridge, I don't know how to say it, Apri bourbon whiskey, which is a, you know, you just told me how to say that, and of course I cuck it up. You know, it is what it is. So this is a special release, and Eric, what does it mean, Apri? What does it mean?
So Apri is known in the ski world of after the ski day is your after ski drink.
Okay. So it's directly related to the to Breckenridge and in that region and skiing and whatnot.
Specifically after skiing and then more specifically drinking.
So pretty much what you do there, drink and ski.
Exactly. Right?
Which we're gonna dive into a bit more.
And so in that order too.
Yeah. Or not.
No, definitely in that order.
Yeah. So this is really cool because this was a fresh release from Breckenridge. I'm a huge Breckenridge fan. I mean, Dan, you know I got a ton of bottles down on the shelf. And one of the other bottles that we had before, and we'll talk about it before you jump into it, is the Breckenridge Uhler's Blend, which is Breckenridge's reserve blend. And this one was really, really good. You know, I hit the tasting notes on it, but it was peppery front end on the nose, caramel, sweet corn, just really live on the nose. The mouthfeel and palate was a good creamy mouthfeel. We'll leave it there. I did, yeah. Caramel, hints of lime, like lime zest in the citrus. I know. I set myself up for destruction on that one. And the finish was a shorter finish. I don't, you know, with the amount of flavor that was involved with it, I don't mind the short finish. It had, it was really, really good. This was a cool story. Can you tell us, like, what Uhler is? What is that? What did that mean?
So In the Norse world, they have many gods, which, you know, they're made up, whatever. But one of their quote-unquote gods is Uhler, which is the god of snow. So every December they have what's called the Uhler Fest, and Breckenridge Distillery does the Uhler blend to commemorate that festival. And it's basically everyone gets together for a big party in town to welcome in the winter and hopefully get a ton of snow. So they always do a blend for the Uhler Fest.
Like a commemorative, you know,
right.
Bottle just to
correct.
Spray it out. Well, whatever. It was delicious. I mean, I'm looking forward to tasting the next one because if the next one is as good as this one, man, it'd be fantastic. So, Dan, hit us up. You do the one taste challenge, one sip challenge. Go for it.
As long-winded as you were this time around, I definitely had 4 or 5 sips while waiting for you to finish. This one, I definitely pick up the vanilla. Very, very light hug. Doesn't have that big hug that you like to talk about. Smooth. Definitely very smooth. Maybe a hint of caramel.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty typical for a bourbon for the hint of caramel, but I can pick up the vanilla and the caramel for sure.
So next to the Uhler's Blend, between this one and the Uhler's Blend, which one did you like the most?
I don't think I had the Uhler's Blend.
I poured you the Uhler's Blend.
No.
Earlier.
It was literally the first one it had.
Yes. That was a lot ago, though. Okay.
So that was probably about 3 hours ago, I'm thinking. So 3 hours.
Are you
hours,
seeking or are you thinking?
I'm skiing. I want to say it was good, but it was 3 hours ago. I cannot tell you.
So you have to revisit. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to give my thoughts on it. So, I enjoyed it. It had a caramel, nose to it, vanilla, a little bit of, I'd almost say like a brown sugary nose to it. which I enjoy those kind of sweeter tones to a nose. The palate, there was like a butterscotch. I had a bit of citrus on the palate, the mouthfeel. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I mean, you may pick up something else, but I definitely got the butterscotch, got a little bit of the oaky vanilla, a little bit of pepper mixed in, and the finish. The finish was, again, medium finish for me. It wasn't a huge hug, but what it didn't have as far as is a bold hug makes up for with all the flavor that was packed into it, and that is what makes it enjoyable. And I'm finding out with Breckenridge especially, you get a lot of flavor out of their bourbons from front to back, all of them, the PX Cask, the Reserve Blends, the Uller's Blend, all of these special ones that they do. They really are just, they're just packed with a lot of flavor. And to me, I love it. Breckenridge is continuously putting out more. Eric, what you tell us, you've had this before and you're having it again. What do you pick up? I mean, you live it, so.
Well, with this specific bottle, like I told you earlier, when reading the notes before they released it, I was really looking forward to this one. And when I bought the two bottles, it almost became two bottles for me and none for you.
Fair enough. I don't blame you. I mean, sacrifices got to be made sometimes.
I think overall, for me personally, the blend and how they did it was just balanced all the way. It yep. wasn't too much or too little. It was just perfect for me.
So this feels more spring summery, and the Uller's blend is more wintry. So I don't know if that's by design. Maybe that's what they're trying to achieve. I don't know.
I think they were trying to achieve that because yeah. you know we're when they released it was coming into the springtime.
Okay.
And their last release that I know of, I may be wrong, Breckenridge Distillery, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that between the Uller, they may have had another one, but yeah. this one was for the spring forward, getting ready for that outdoor,
the
Opry time.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, that makes complete sense. I mean, so we had those three drinks, and then we were very, very lucky. We had to talk Dan into it, but we were really, really lucky to have Rachel and Eric both here, who are part-time professional bartenders at the resorts out there, and they live a really cool nomadic RV life, which we're going to dive into. But they made us a proper old-fashioned, and they did it by using a product that they created, and you're going to see really, really soon as it makes its way into production and manufacturing, correct me if I'm wrong, and hits the shelves. And if you love smoked anything, smoked old fashions, smoked, I don't know, I can only think of old fashions right now because that's what's right in front of me. This is going to be great because I've made smoked drinks before. And, you know, Eric, you and I were talking about this, Dan, we were talking about it. You know, you lose the smoke flavor after a couple minutes. Smoke just dissipates. It leaves the drink. And it's really not there. And I got to imagine as a bartender, and I want you to dive into this, it's a pain in the nuts to make smoked anything when you're tending a massive bar area. It's a time suck. I mean, it has to be. So we were blessed to have four extremely, just amazingly great old fashions made by somebody who knows how to do it, because I don't. I'm lazy. So Rachel, Eric, talk to us about what this is and how this came about, because this is pretty friggin' neat, and I'm in it. I'm mesmerized.
So Eric would like to order a smoked old-fashioned when we go out to a restaurant, but after the first two sips, it would lose all of its smoked flavor, and you're paying an extra $4, $5, $6, $7 upcharge for that smoked drink, and so he wouldn't order a second one. And then he decided that he wanted to start smoking his own product at home,
yeah,
and to create a flavor that would last for the entire drink. And so that's what we did, and or that's what he did. So he's been making this at home for himself to add to his cocktails to give it a smoked flavor for a number of years, and we decided to finally bring it to market. And our target market is high volume bars and restaurants, because yeah. as a bartender in high volume, you absolutely do not want to smoke a drink. It takes too long. It takes away from customers. It smells up the bar. Yes, does it have, you know, a beautiful aesthetic look to it? Absolutely. However, that customer is not going to order a second one at that upcharge, because
right.
they lose the flavor. So with this product, they can have the flavor for every sip of the drink, and they will continue to order the second and third drink out at a restaurant or a bar because they're getting what they're paying for.
Well, we've had these poured now for about, you know, a couple minutes as we did the intro and we talked, and it is just, it's like putting my head in a smoker with whiskey. I mean, no joke, it's good. It's really, really good. Dan, you didn't even want an old fashioned.
Yeah, I didn't even want an old fashioned, and I feel myself each and every sip. I'm holding on to that sip to get that smoke flavor because it's absolutely enjoyable. And with a lot of these syrups, they're very sugary usually, and you can tell when you go to these chain restaurants usually the syrups completely kills the drink.
Yeah.
A syrup can make or break a drink, and this syrup, hands down, if every old fashioned was made like this, I would definitely drink a lot more old fashions.
Yep, it's nice and light.
Yeah.
And it's not overpowering, and there's other things out there that have a smoked flavor, but for me, I'm not real big on smoked flavors, but I do love the taste of this product because most smoked flavors taste medicine-y.
Yeah.
And this really tastes like something that was just taken out of the smoker.
Well, and Eric, you dress this up with orange peel. I don't go that far for these guys. Ty decided to join us. Craig's, you know, playing hooky, but these guys get what they get, and they don't get upset because that's how we do it usually. You know, but this is so pretty. I didn't even want to drink it, and then I tasted it, and I was like, "Well, damn it, I'm gonna have to do this again." So, can you talk? I mean, talk to us. Like, what do you do now? Like, you're gonna bring this to market, right? This is gonna come soon. You know, what's it gonna be called? Like, give us the fact. You know, the info on it if you can. You know, because I want to grab a case.
Yeah, absolutely. Too. So it's a copper smoke simple syrup, and there's a ton of cocktail ideas out there that you can make taste smoked that require simple syrup. And you can have a smoked mojito, a smoked margarita, a smoked old fashioned. The sky is the limit with what you can flavor something smoked. People love a smoked flavor, but for some reason only in bars and restaurants are they smoking old fashions and nothing else. Because that's also a pain. You start setting all kinds of drinks out to a table that are smoked. Yeah. Everybody's going to start ordering them. And bartenders they can't get backed up like that.
Yeah.
And as a bartender, excuse me, when that ticket pops up at the service well and you see a smoked drink, hands down, pretty much every bartender in America is going to say some expletive words.
Yeah, like,
sign that ticket down.
Yeah.
Try to find the burner, find those chips.
Yeah.
Basically stop what they're doing to make this one drink.
Right.
Yes, the customer is going to enjoy it. You know, yes, there's an upcharge on it, but it stops everything else.
Right.
So when we were developing this, we were thinking about the bartenders specifically to not make an extra step or five steps to make this one drink for one person. And then now it allows the bartenders to create other drinks to have that without the mezcal flavor to it.
Right.
Most bartenders will cheat and use a mezcal.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They'll put it right in an old fashioned.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that, dude?
Mm-hmm.
And that will take away.
Get out of here, really?
It takes away so many different things for that customer. And they won't, number one, they won't order another drink of that.
Yeah.
And probably not come back because they don't want to have a garbage drink. So when we were creating this, these are one of the many things we were thinking about, mainly for the bartenders, but also on our, like, sitting on this side of the bar, I want a good drink, and I don't want to pay extra for it.
So no,
one of our big thoughts about it.
But, you know, not to take away from your craft cocktail bartenders that are out there that are making beautiful, you know,
amazing
aesthetic
drinks. Artisan.
Very artisan cocktails and whatnot. Not to take away from them, but typically that's not our target market. Now, could they also use this product as well? Absolutely, because then they can at least still keep that flavor in that drink for the whole drink.
For the duration, right.
So that their clients are ordering a second and a third one at that upcharge.
So you can still do a nice presentation smoke cocktail at the high-end kind of craft cocktail, you know, whatever, bars. But you put a drop of this simple syrup in there and you get more a longevity of flavor throughout the drink,
correct,
is what you're saying. So you don't have to replace it with one, but you could augment with it to kind of to. So it's all going to be situational. If your volume, this is perfect for volume sales, right?
Right.
So
we'll call this a force multiplier.
I like that. I like how you went all you want military on me. I love it. Okay. All right.
So Eric, I mean, something like this, you don't come up with it overnight. I mean, obviously, you could tell you put some time, some effort into this product because it holds that smoky taste throughout the drink. How long did it actually take you to come up with this product?
From conception to product?
Yeah, I mean, how many versions of the product did you go through before you were like, this is the one we're going to go to market with?
Oh, okay, gotcha. So, yeah, we were working with a food scientist. We sent him our homemade samples. How many, what do we have to send him, like a half a gallon or something along those lines? That's not important. But
about a gallon and a half.
And, yeah, so that was time consuming for him to make that. But anyways, yeah, so he sent us back about 6 to 8 weeks later, 4 samples for us to sample and test and taste. We narrowed it down to 1, and but we needed to make some adjustments to it.
And by we, it wasn't just Rachel and I, it was a multiple people. Like, we were doing taste tests.
Right.
You know, friends in the bartending and restaurant industry, friends that were just friends like us, just, you know, like to enjoy drinks.
Yeah.
To get a good, different amount of palates. And they all were choosing the same flavor, the same samples. And that's what got us to what you're tasting today.
Honest assessment, brutal if need be, right? Yeah.
So were you trying different mixed drinks, or were they all old fashions, or were you going with the mojitos like you talked about earlier? Like, what type of mixed drinks were you using?
We were going with the basic old fashioned.
Okay. That's the baseline for it.
Because that's the, of all the, you know, the smoked drinks, the most asked one was for the old fashioned.
Right.
So we wanted, that's the most popular drink. Let's do that one to get the baseline, and then from there we're going to do other smoked drinks.
So yeah,
we're putting together a list that there will be a QR code on our labeling for bartenders with probably about 50 different cocktail ideas to use. This
so it's ready made. I mean, this is going to be product comes out. They can hit this barcode or the QR code thing you do, Hopper. That still confuses me. And they've got a list of stuff that they can automatically use this for, you know, out the gate. That's,
of course,
that's huge.
Bartenders out there are very, very creative, and they'll come up with their own ideas as well.
Right. So that's gonna be big. So I gotta know. So is there a website you have yet set up for this? Is this something that we're gonna have to, like? I mean, we're gonna shoot this out constantly because it's so good.
The website is being developed as quote under construction. But we're hoping to have a website out within the next probably month while we're traveling, building on that and getting that out there.
So, yeah, so you said traveling. And for the listeners, we'll get that out on our page. And when it does come out live, we're going to shoot this thing out big time. But, you know, you mentioned traveling. I think Dan and I both, we enjoy when you and Rachel pass through here because, you know, we were together over in Europe. And the memories always come back, and we always enjoy good drinks, and it's always a fun time having you guys here, and we kind of reminisce. But what is this RV life like? I mean, we talk about it. I've talked about it. Like, I'm gonna get me a big old truck one day. How do you do it?
Yeah. I mean, everybody absolutely says, you know what? I'm done working. I'm gonna sell my house. I'm just gonna live that nomadic lifestyle. Buy an RV, travel the country, and enjoy life to the fullest like it's meant to be lived. And the two of you are actually doing it, which is absolutely amazing.
We're crushing it.
How? Like, I mean, I'm just curious, how do you get that point? I mean, I know your kids are out of the house, so that helps.
Right, yeah, it helps that the kids are grown. They're self-sufficient, so that's good. So that's, you know, a big hurdle for most families, as they still have kids at home. It's about letting go of possessions.
Yeah.
It's about, that's a very scary thing for most people. We sold absolutely everything. We don't even have a storage unit back in Florida.
Wow. There,
that's our home base.
I thought you at least had a storage unit.
No, don't even have a storage unit. And it's very freeing.
Yeah.
You don't even know how freeing it will be until after you have already accomplished it. and you don't even remember the things that you got rid of. I do miss my couch. I did like a couch.
In one breath, you won't miss it. In another breath, man, I miss my couch.
Right. So, it was a nice couch.
Leading up to, so to kind of a backstory, we built a brand new home and moved into it June of 20, which we all know June of 20 was height of the pandemic.
COVID
happened, you know. And we built our dream house. It was like everything was custom designed. We were like, we're going to be here forever. And then fast forward, not even
to October.
Of that year.
Of 20.
Wow.
Bought an RV and we're up in northern Georgia camping, loving it, and seeing how many people were doing what's called camp hosting. A camp host is someone that when you're coming into the campground, we make sure that it's clean and ready for you and your family to enjoy it. We were noticing all these sites. We're like, wow, one day when we're retired, like in our 60s retired, one day we're going to do this. And I'll never forget this. We were on our way back to Florida, and Rachel just kind of said, you know, just out of nowhere, what if we set a 5-year, and I cut her off, like, yes, we're going to do a 5-year.
We're on the same wavelength.
5-year plan. Because we were both thinking it. She just said the quiet part out loud. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this 5 years. Let's set it. Let's do it. And so this is now December of 20. And we're talking to one of our close friends and telling her our plan. She's like, you're going to want to do this sooner than later.
Almost like if you don't do it now, if you don't do it now,
on the housing market.
Right.
Oh, because, okay.
And our friend, and she's a great close personal friend, but also a real estate agent in Florida. And she is a genius in the market. And she knows trends.
Mm.
And she was, this is December 20, saying you should do this sooner than 5 years.
Right.
So here we are now, middle of 21-ish. And she's saying you should probably list your house before June of 22.
Well, she nailed that one, didn't she?
Oh, she
got that one right.
Everybody needs a realtor that's that smart.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get that number.
Thank you, Jessica Peterson.
So anyway, we start putting our ducks in a row, and we're getting set. And the day before we actually listed the house, we got an offer on the house.
Wow.
For more than our asking price.
Dunzo.
Done.
Dunzo.
And decided to, let's do it. And we pulled that trigger and we're like, yeah, let's, you know, we're lots of fears, lots of, you know, tumultuous times, but we're like, let's do it. Like, if we're going to do it, it's like jump out that plane.
Yeah.
You know, pull that cord.
Right.
So we did.
Yeah.
And
you know, I was a medical rep and just completely burnt out.
Yeah.
And especially through COVID, and I couldn't be happier that I walked away from that career and to have this kind of lifestyle freedom.
Yeah.
And working part time and traveling and seeing the country and being able to see our friends all over the country more on a regular basis than just on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it really is a feeling of just being more human than I was before.
And no matter where we stay, we always have our house.
Yeah, I remember you said the first time. So I remember when you mentioned this a couple of years ago before you did it, I was like, man, that's crazy. Like in my mind, like mm-hmm. I can't. And then the first time you came to Pittsburgh, I can't remember if you were on your way to Colorado or on your way to Maine.
We were on our way to Maine.
Maine.
Yep.
And you had all this insight already, all these little tips and tricks. And it's like, then you come back and you got more tips and tricks. And then you come back now and you got more tips and tricks and all kinds of crazy stuff that, you know, the stories you share. And it's like, it's inspirational. But I got to know, Rachel, this question is for you.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, Dan and I were going to one of us were going to ask this. What drives you nuts about living in an RV with this guy? I mean, let's be real.
Okay. What drives me nuts?
His dashing good looks.
Clearly,
I mean, he's pretty handsome.
Yeah.
Don't be jealous.
Woo.
Not a whole lot. I mean, Eric and I have a very, I feel like, rare relationship. We both had practice marriages, we like to call them.
Oh yeah, we've been there.
And We're just really, really good friends that want to spend all of our time together. And we were that way before this, and we did everything together. We have all the same hobbies. We all like this. We like all the same things. And I don't know. The only time he bothers me is when he gets a little grumpy.
No.
come on.
A grumpy vet? I don't buy that one.
Hogwash.
We're built this way.
Thank you,
EA. So, what? Hey, everybody needs to take note of the way she answered that, because that was spectacular. So I'm just saying.
I will say this, though. In the end of January, Rachel had to go back to Florida for a few days. And that was the first time that we've been away.
And apart, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Since, I think, 2018-ish, 2019-ish, I had a trip to Gainesville. And I was like, wow, this is like, this RV is empty.
Gainesville?
Yeah, I had to go back up to UW, go Gators.
Gators, that's my man. Made my heart all happy. All right.
But that was like the first time that we've been away since
From each other.
Yeah.
And it was weird. Because most couples, like, oh, God, got to get away. And especially when you're in a very small living area. However, that time that she was gone, I was like, wow, this place is huge now.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Yeah.
You know, and not that, you know, she's big in stature. Legally a midget.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for the audience, I'm 4'10". Yeah.
But I was like, wow,
fireball,
like,
though.
It was like, that was like the first time we were away. I'm like, wow, I really, really, really miss her.
Yeah.
Because we've been.
He's so sweet. Oh, look
how sentimental they're getting. Okay.
I know, right?
All right, this is weird. Move on.
My sister
wants
to get a room.
Right. So, like, for real, though, I was like, that was the first time, like, we've been away. And it was really like, wow, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Our relationship and our lifestyle has just been.
We bowl together, we golf together, we snowboard together, we drink together. I mean, what are other hobbies?
I mean, this is, we're a family-related podcast.
The one thing that annoys me about him is he won't work out with me.
That's because, listen, when you're built like a Greek god, you don't need to work out. Tell him, Eric. Come on. Right?
No. It's once you're done with the military, you're like, I did enough working out for 20 plus years. I'm done.
Yeah. Yes. So what's the plan? What do you do going forward? Is this like a 10-year deal? Is it going to be? Are you going to wake up one morning like, man, all right, it's time to.
It's just that when that time comes, then we'll know. We don't have a plan for how long we want to do this. We have summers booked out through summer 26.
Yeah.
There's just so much to do, so much to see, and so little time left to do it in. You know, life expectancy and all that crap. And we're just, you know, we're not getting any younger. So next summer, we're going to be traveling bartenders in the south of Ireland. And then the summer after that.
Road trip!
Summer after that, I'm hoping that we'll be vetted to doing some sort of a part-time bartender gig, on the Amalfi Coast in Italy.
Hey, we need to do a podcast in Europe again, bro.
Yeah, oh yeah.
For sure.
Definitely.
All keep going back to Breckenridge every winter. Because, you know, that's a great place to snowboard.
So I have to ask, because everybody, they always, especially once you retire, I've noticed a lot of retirees do not go back to where they were born and raised, and they go somewhere else. You guys, Colorado, like Breckenridge, out of all the places in the United States, you're fully mobile. Why there?
Because in the mountainous regions, it's very rare to find an RV resort that's open all year round.
Okay.
And there's one right there in Breckenridge that's 8 minutes to the gondola. So you couldn't ask for a more perfect location. And, you know, so that's the main reason.
And you guys are big into the snow, the winter skiing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you were, Rachel, you were a Floridian, right?
Born and raised.
So like me, I mean, we talked about earlier, like, you put me on skis, man, you have an avalanche. A big-ass avalanche coming down that mountain. I won't do it.
I'll be 53 years old this year.
So killing it.
And I'm hoping next winter I'll be able to start hitting some small jumps. That's my goal.
What jumps like? What do you? What's
on
about
snowboard?
Like up a ramp?
Not a big ramp, just small jumps. Remember, I'm 53, so.
The thought of jump in my back seized up, I'm just saying, so. So
goals,
and then,
goals.
And then, Eric, you're from Rhode Island, right?
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Like, I've never heard anybody say that out loud. Have you?
You've never met anyone from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, here we go, yeah. So it's just crazy that you end up Floridian on the slopes in Colorado and like, loving it, loving that life. Like,
from the weather conditions there are not harsh.
Right.
Like, I lived 8 years as a young adult in Michigan, and that's 8 years I'll never
get back.
It froze.
It's like 8 years of Minot.
It was so cold. And yeah, do you have cold days in Colorado? Absolutely. But that sun is always out, and it just doesn't feel the same. It just doesn't feel the same kind of cold as like Germany. Germany was very mild winters.
Yeah.
But imagine those kinds of mild winters, but with sunshine.
But also,
it's hard to.
But also in Colorado, though, like the vibe there is everyone is in Colorado for snowboarding or skiing, the opera.
In the mountains, yeah.
In the mountains, yeah. In the Breckenridge area. And everyone that's there just wants to enjoy themselves, whether it's on the slopes or on the streets of Main Street in Breckenridge. And everyone just has no matter where you're from, they're your friend.
Yeah.
Right. And it's such a great just way of life.
It's like Oktoberfest vibe almost.
No, better. It's better.
Everybody has the same mindset. It's really interesting to be around so many people at one time that have such a true appreciation for God's creation.
Yeah.
And the beauty that is all around you there and how it's appreciated by people all the time that you're surrounded by.
Yeah.
Because that's something that's really a big passion of Eric and I's is, you know, always being in nature and being in the mountains and chasing waterfalls.
Don't go doing it.
that's a big passion of ours is hiking and things of that sort. That's another hobby we like to do together. And it is the same like with camp hosting. When you're in the campgrounds and you're surrounded by just everybody has the same mindset. Everybody's there to relax and enjoy nature and chill. And it's just being around that mindset all the time, being out of the grind that I used to work in, that he used to work in, it's just completely different. And it's just, I feel like my hair is reversed graying. I feel like my wrinkles have reversed. I feel like, you know, it's like I just know I'm healthier, this lifestyle.
So, with that said, are you running across a lot more people that are doing exactly what you're doing, where they're just completely nomadic, living that lifestyle, kind of like you said, enjoying nature, enjoying the traveling, just enjoying life in general?
Everywhere we go.
Yep.
Especially families with kids, with children.
With children?
Yes.
How's that work?
They
homeschool?
They homeschool. And what's really super. So, like, we experienced this in Breckenridge at Tiger Run RV Resort, and I'll plug them because it's absolutely
shout out to Tiger Run. Never mentioned, but I want to.
And it was a lot of families will come there because their kids are in ski what not ski school but ski programs.
Yeah, it's like training programs for like doing elite stuff,
like for the Olympic teams or something like that.
Teams. Red Bull Extreme, right?
Another plug.
And they're all like, and all these families, they all get together. They have, and they, some of them still have homes that they rent out, whatever, but they spend the entire winter there for their kids to be able to be a part of this.
Mm.
And they have their businesses back home or whatever, and they're homeschooling them. And they get together as families so that their kids are always having that regular association with same kids their age, so they're not missing out on that kind of development.
So they've got a community within a community, right? Basically. Oh, yeah. It, they don't have a formal high school setting, but, I mean, after 2020 with the COVID nonsense, that... we shattered, I guess, we probably shattered the normal way of doing things, right? I mean,
right.
I both of my older kids who are now off in college and on their own, they missed their graduations. They didn't have it. And my oldest son, he just, his senior year, he's like, what's the point of going back to school? It's a shit show. I mean, it was just, that's how he felt about it. He's like, nobody's invested in it. I'm going to finish out. I already know where I'm going to college. I know what I'm going to major in. I don't have time for their nonsense. And it feels like a lot of people kind of, they got liberated a little bit with it. They just decided that there's a different way to live.
New right. way of life, yep.
Right. And drink bourbon while you're doing it.
So you have me at the bourbon.
Yeah. So you talked about all the positives.
Oh.
What are some of the negatives that I just from your personalities and everything else, I could tell there's not a lot of negatives because you two seem like the happiest two couple I ever met. And Jen and Jason, they're going to give me crap later.
Yeah, I'm going to give you crap right now.
Yeah, I'm deniable right now. But you know, what's some of the downside to the nomadic lifestyle?
So they really don't build these RVs for full timing. There's only one line out there that's a very new line that's really building their RVs for full timing. It's called Brinkley RV. Mm. We're looking at upgrading to that. So there's always something to fix. But it's the same with the house. There's always something that has to be fixed. But when you're traveling on the road and you need those sides to close, you're like, close!
Yeah.
You try to open them, they close. And it's always like a huge win when they open and close when you need them to. That's, you know, so there's always something, you know, to be concerned about because after you've been traveling on these horrible highways, a.k.a. Illinois.
Pennsylvania,
Ohio. Pennsylvania's not so bad.
Yeah, Illinois was bad.
You don't know what
you're
going to walk into whenever you walk into that RV. It's like, what's broken?
Yeah. So with that, how many times has Eric said, shitter's full?
Never. Oh, I am on top of our black tank.
Yeah, the black tank is never full.
Yeah, I always make sure I dump that thing. But every time I dump it, I always think of that one reference.
So no Griswold.
No.
Well, not that specific scene. But Edna, sorry.
Yeah.
No, as far on my side of it, as far as downsides, the driving. Driving is fun, it's good, but there's always those stressful moments when you're getting it. Like, we were not even with the camper towing behind us, but going to see our Rachel's sister, my sister-in-law, in Chicago. It's like the drivers, like when you realize how bad, and especially from our background in law enforcement and military, it's like, you see so many different things. And thank God we have a dash cam to just record and document the bad drivers. So those that are listening, please just watch out for those pulling an RV. You can't stop on a dime. You've got 10,000 pounds behind you.
Oh, yeah.
You got families, you know. It's just what.
I mean, that goes for all the commercial vehicles. Yeah, I mean, it takes people cut off tractor trailers.
There's truckers out there. I love you because they're out there all the time on the road, and we have a lot of vets that are out there driving. And that for me as a driver is probably the most stressful part of our lifestyle is those 8-hour days driving and making sure that my family is safe, our house is safe, and everyone else around us is safe. So just keep that in mind when you're driving.
Yeah, you're not towing just a vehicle. You're towing your entire house.
Exactly.
That's your home.
Everything we own.
I mean,
that's it. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you mentioned Chicago. I mean, I drove through there about a month ago to go to Wisconsin for work, and I would rather, I think we'd all agree, I'd rather drive in Fallujah again or Ramadi than Chicago.
Oh,
I mean, I felt so absolutely hyper alert. It was like nothing I've experienced yet.
Chicago.
Yeah, Chirac.
Not just the traffic.
Yeah. Somebody listening from Chicago is going to put us on blast, but I'm telling you, listen, that was insane. I can't imagine pulling anything, much less an RV.
Yeah.
You know, you're in constant peril.
Yeah. So on a plus side, going back to our time in Breckenridge as a bartender there, met so many amazing vets.
Yeah.
That because I don't know why, for some reason, probably because of the Epic Pass. If you're a military veteran that want to have a season pass, if you're retired, you get a season pass for $179.
Wait, the entire season?
For the entire season,
for the entire
Epic Mountain. Like, they own
all
of them.
That's nuts.
The absolute best veterans discount I've ever seen
anywhere
in the world.
Because just a day pass at Breckenridge can cost you $225 to $275 for a day.
Sounds like a road trip come this winter.
Yes,
absolutely.
I'm not skiing, though. I'll just sit in the hot tub and look grand and majestic.
The background story on that, is, and I don't, and I'm going to spitball this, but from what I was told was one of the founders of the Vail Company is a veteran. I'm pretty sure from 10th Mountain Division. So, yeah, so that's why 10th Mountain is huge in Vail. But he wanted to give the veterans a good discount. And you're getting about a 90% discount.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, to hats off to Breckenridge and what they're doing there for vets. And I mean, in general, I mean, we see the pictures on Facebook. I think it's pretty cool because, you know, you guys got here today, but we were juiced about it for a couple
weeks. Yes. For weeks on end.
And then you're going to leave in a couple days and we're going to be like, but then we like, all right, cool.
Here comes fall time. They're coming back.
So what do we do? So we've marked this. This has become something that we just genuinely were like, oh, when are Eric and Rachel coming? Like, you know, I'm doing a brisket. Yeah. I mean, we love having you guys. I mean, look, we're, you know, the brotherhood that we have, we get to serve together, guys. So listeners out there, you got to understand, we were in Germany together.
Endured a lot in Germany.
Yeah. And so there's a bond there that doesn't break, but it's the same with all the vets, you know, I mean, it's why we started Bullets and Bourbon, you know, with Dan, Craig, and Ty, you know, this was our way of reaching back and kind of staying in touch with who we are. And so, yeah, we get super pumped when you roll through, you know, and so just get done. He gets super drunk on accident.
So does Dan.
And super stuffed with meat. I mean, with brisket. Let me clear that. Here we go again.
Thanks for the brisket.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Wait, so we have something that has to happen on this podcast.
Oh, what's yeah.
Like, what? You have to buy that pellet grill smoker while...
Oh, the brisket was horrible.
Oh, yeah. Now you have to buy the pellet smoker while on the podcast.
For the record, the brisket...
Oh, she's for the...
I promised your wife.
Oh, wait, so, oh, wait, oh, wait, so wait. I got blessing from the boss. Oh, well, then I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to search for what I really want.
She said do it.
Okay. They're waiting for the fight in the morning
with
Jen White. So what did you just purchase?
Was that my account or your account?
So what I heard was I was given the blessing by the off-duty boss of my life to purchase a, $1,500?
$2,000
smoker?
Get it.
But it's for the greater good, right? I mean, I'm feeding people with this.
Exactly.
So I'm really, it's a charitable donation. Yeah. Is that tax deductible? Something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure someone in the IRS is listening, so they can probably...
Yeah, they're just waiting to pounce.
Yeah.
So yeah, as we wrap this up, you know, guys, I want you to talk about the name of the simple syrup really quick again for people, and also we will shout it back out, you know, once it goes live. We're gonna hit that big because I need about six bottles.
Yeah, we'll definitely be sending you some samples for sure. It's Copper Smoke Simple Syrup. Copper named after our amazing hound we had, our Copper. We had to put him down a few years ago. Mm. He just became an old man, and so you'll see him on the label.
He would approve.
He would approve. It's going to be Copper approved, yeah. So, yeah, Copper Smoke Simple Syrup.
Coming probably about how long before we can start, like, really, like,
well, we're going to be doing it primarily to restaurants and bars first, and then probably in a year or so afterwards, we're going to put it into the commercial market. Maybe sooner. If it goes sooner, we'll let you know first.
Yeah.
We're looking at getting onboarded with U.S. Foods and Sysco Foods, so might get us out there a lot faster than we understand how that works.
Yeah.
But fortunately, the manufacturer that we're working with, Sun Beverage in San Antonio, Texas, they're going to be helping us with all of that, so we're pretty excited to work with them and... They're educating us as we go along the way.
Well, guys, we can't thank you enough, Dan, Ty, you know, and I, you know, for coming over and stopping by.
Ty looks like he needs a refill on his drink over there.
Yeah, he's about ready to pass out.
I think we all do.
But, no, I mean, seriously, bottom of our hearts, you guys are dear friends of ours, and we look forward to this. And for all the listeners, yeah, I got this for you. I so very much want to have the bravery to do what they're doing and just say screw it and ditch it all. Unfortunately, I have two little crib midgets that are still growing up.
Hey, with that said, I say, you know, you can homeschool them. Like Eric said, unfortunately, the 600-700 bottles of bourbon and whiskey and scotch you have, you will not be able to put in the RV.
No.
So myself, Craig, and Ty will divvy that up and take good care of it for you. Eric and Rachel.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And if I die, that'll happen too, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay, I just want to make sure that everybody's got their dibs in.
Hey, if you look at the bottom of some of the the bottles.
It better not be marked.
They're already marked.
So this is what happens when you have people that just they care about you so much they're willing to go ahead and mark the possessions they want to take from you when you croak. But I would not have it any other way, my friends. And again, thanks guys, thanks Eric, Rachel.
Thanks for having us.
We love you, and love you as always, everybody. Stay thirsty, my friends. Till next time.